This is Laura Deirdre with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Dr. Paul Testa, Chief Medical Information Officer at NYU Langone Health. Dr. Testa, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Great to be back, Laura. Thank you. Well,
I'm looking forward to catching up with you a bit and seeing, what the biggest things you're focused on right now, as well as what you're looking forward to in the future. But before we dive into my questions, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
sure. Thanks for asking. So I'm by medical training an emergency medicine doc, and I practice at NYU Langone. Before that, I was actually a healthcare attorney up in Boston, and I made the move over to the clinical world after realizing and spending a lot of time doing healthcare law that the doctors were having a whole lot more fun than the lawyers, so I jumped ship. And as we started implementing more and more digital and electronic tools, I had the opportunity to sort of live between the two worlds, both clinical and digital technological, and live between those worlds and continue to get to live in that hybrid space between the two. I've been at NYU almost 20 years now.
That's amazing to hear it. What a great career journey that you've had in perspective in the healthcare space. Were you right? Doctors having more fun?
They are definitely having more fun. It comes and goes, but yeah, it's a privilege, but it's still also a lot of fun.
Amazing. Well, perfect. Well, what are some of the biggest issues that you're following in healthcare right now? What's top of mind for you?
Well, I don't think there's any way to have any conversation about healthcare and healthcare IT without talking about large language models and artificial intelligence. So that's definitely taken up a lot of the air. And we at NYU Langone have been committed to learning in that space for, wow, more than 8 or 9 years. We've had data scientists and clinicians, doctors and nurses working together, developing models. But with the advent of large language models and the accessibility, everything is just sort of skyrocketed. So there's a huge amount of space and time being put into that. And then I think another big trend that I'm hearing among other CMIOs and health informatics folks is, you sort of, we've been spending so much time and resources in, and we're sort of well past EHR deployment, most of us. And now it's, how do we look at all those other systems as truly clinical systems, integrated into the EHR or otherwise? So I think the role of the CMIO and health informaticists have evolved to look far beyond the EHR into tools that can drive efficiency, quality, and the digital experience for both our clinicians and our patients.
That's a fascinating transition, especially for you, being able to sit at that intersection between medicine and technology and have the opportunity to really understand both of those worlds. When you look at that kind of more high level strategy position, is that something that comes naturally to you, or have you had to kind of adjust some of the ways that you're looking at your role in thinking about things at a high level?
Oh, none of this comes natural. I have been privileged for, 15, 12, 15 plus years being in health IT to be exposed to some individuals who are incredibly thoughtful and strategic in their thinking. And I think the real privilege has been not so much that they're strategic IT thinkers, but that they're approaching things strategically in general. So we don't talk about IT goals. We don't talk about just having an IT strategy, but it's rather how does the health system's strategy be informed by and partner with IT? So sure, it's great if we say our strategy is to put in this new secure chat tool or stand up a better order set. But really, the place I think we want to live in health IT is as enablers and partners with the operational and clinical leads who are setting the course with us, not handing us the course they've set afterwards. So I'm learning from my operational and clinical partners every day.
That's fascinating to hear. And truly, I can imagine a journey. Now, when you look at where we're headed in healthcare, what are you most excited about and what makes you nervous?
Coming off the HIMSS conference last week, there's so much opportunity to marry, bring together remote process automation, robotic process automation, excuse me, RPM, artificial intelligence, and our clinical workflows, not just operational, not just back office. So we're seeing all these opportunities to leverage RPA bots in to take over the mundane tasks, but make them really smart by, in the front end, having machine learning, artificial intelligence models sort of look for this signal amongst a lot of noise to direct their efforts. So, for example, med rec. That's a task that is incredibly important for the safety of our patients, but can be a complex one with information coming from a lot of different places. The efforts we're doing, we're trying to marry, we're doing, we're marrying native lists and native functionality in the EMR. For us, it's Epic. Native Epic functionality with artificial intelligence that we're developing and robotic process automation to better serve to our clinicians within the first 24 hours of a patient's admission, where there are gaps in med rec, which has brought us from, you know, high 80s to the high 90% compliance with med rec being completed within the first 24 hours, which is an incredibly important safety gap that we need to make sure is closed for our patients. So, you know, we've been asked for years, we get asked, could we have another hard stop? Could we have another BPA? And finally, we're moving to a place where clinical decision support isn't just another pop-up or another interruptive alert, but rather intelligent actions that are marrying machine learning, robotic process automation, and nudges to the clinician in ways we certainly couldn't have done even maybe a year before.
That's really fascinating to hear, you know, and I can imagine things are changing so quickly with the technology, as you were talking about artificial intelligence and large language models providing so many new opportunities. What do you think is really, you know, from your perspective, how do you, I guess, make sure you're changing fast enough and really help your teams understand, you know, we need to evaluate quickly and be able to keep up with some of the different, I guess, technology advancements and then select the right ones to move forward with and really know and understand both the risks as well as opportunities there?
Oh, that's a great question. How to keep pace and keep up. So my CDIO, Nader Marabi, often will say, if we see something we've done, we thought was sort of cutting edge at the time, if we see one of our competitors doing something similar, he's like, good. If they're not copying us, we're not pushing the envelope enough. So I think part of it is a good competitive spirit with our peers to make sure we're always keeping ahead, keeping at the forefront safely with the deployment of these technologies. I think we owe it to ourselves to sort of, as informaticists, always be looking both at other industries. So some things are done really well in other industries that we're only starting to tackle in healthcare, but also to listen to our users and think of this as a digital experience. And by that, when I say users, I mean, you know, the number one user of the EMR right now are our patients. Post 21st Century Cures Act, our patients are all connecting, and post, I should say, after the worst of COVID, our patients are connecting with digitally in ways we never could have imagined 5 years ago. And there's a lot of signal, a lot of need to make sure we're hearing our patients and what they want, and then looking at other industries as well as our own to say we can tackle this in a way that is innovative, but also scales. And that's, I think, probably my biggest fear is always that we get lost in a really great idea that remains a small pilot, but is never architected to scale. So I challenge my team, I challenge our team, we're challenged to, at the onset of these new ideas, of these new innovations, is this something we can not just do at one office in sort of a bespoke, interesting and innovative deployment, but can we really deploy to all of our 150 plus locations, to our 9 million plus patients at NYU Langone? If we can only affect a small handful, it's got to have a massive impact to that small handful to be worth impacting their care or changing the way they receive care. The real trick is to do it at scale. So that's always I have to say one of my guiding tenets and one of the things we always look at, and I won't say fear, I'll say thing we're always wary of, is are we doing something that we can do at scale, or is this just a smaller exercise that's good for our learning, but not something we can build upon?
That's such a great point, and fascinating way to look at things and how you're growing and developing it and scaling the department and selecting, the right partners and technologies as well. As healthcare changes and really, the organization does as well and evolves along with it. What do you see as being the most important things for healthcare leaders to do, and what do they need in order to be successful over the next 2 to 3 years or so?
We learned many things as we attempted rapidly to address the challenges that COVID brought upon us as a nation, as a nation of healthcare providers, and individual health systems. I think one of the biggest lessons that I'm continually taught is that we have to, at the onset, appreciate that we have to deploy tools, we have to ingrain our clinical care in an equitable foundation. And it's not just enough to do no harm, but in inequitable distribution, inequitable care, we are actually inflicting more harm. We're actively inflicting harm. So I think diversity of thought, diversity of who's coming to us and which patients we're listening to, and ensuring that we appreciate that even at the neighborhood, to the street, to the building level, our neighbors who are also our patients have different needs based on their cultural and their social determinants. We have to take that into account. The little, I think we're getting humbled. We're finally approaching this in a more humble aspect to realize the care we provide in our offices, in our emergency departments, in our hospitals, while incredibly important, is but a small determinant in the health of our patients. So this gives us the opportunity, and as our patients have become more digitally native, to reach into their homes, to meet them where they want care provided, and to provide not just medical care, but health, and help them improve their health and ensure their health in a diverse, equitable fashion in places and spaces they want it, be it shelters, be it schools, be it coffee houses. You know, who knows where our patients want, and we need to meet them there in a way that is both, as I said, equitable, secure, and provides the best quality.
I love that. That's such an important, all those areas are so important to think about. And as you mentioned, just really keeping the patient front and center in what you can do for your communities, the different partnerships and services that you can provide. It just seems like such an exciting time to be in healthcare and really leading the charge in this type of transformation.
It is. It's an incredibly exciting time. And as each new tool comes and as each opportunity presents, it only becomes more so.
Dr. Testa, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. I'm really excited that you are here and able to share with us, and I look forward to seeing you in October as well for Health IT Digital Health and Revenue Cycle event. I know you'll be on an amazing panel, just some great discussions happening there, and so I'm looking forward to it.
Can't wait for October too.